Today is October 30th, 2018. My name is Deborah Schwartz, and I'm sitting here in the Mill Valley Library recording room in the basement with a longtime Mill Valley resident, Dennis Fisco, Marin County real estate investor and developer, former mayor of Mill Valley, outdoor lover, and like I said, longtime Mill Valley resident, Dennis. On behalf of the Mill Valley Historical Society and the Mill Valley Public Library, welcome to the rubber room, that's what I call it, and thank you so much for coming here so we can sit down together and you can share your story with our community and the library.
Well, thanks for the invitation and thanks for the call. I'm looking forward to this.
Dennis, the first thing I noticed when you showed up was it's almost hard to recognize you because you're in your business clothes, and I'm so used to seeing you and your lovely wife, Pam, on Mount Tamalpais on a trail somewhere at any time of day. And so I guess you are just a regular working guy after all.
Well, yeah, I mean, every now and then I have to show up at the office, let the employees know I'm still around. It was funny, we went to a birthday cocktail party last night, but I stopped home first and put on shorts and hiking shoes, and I was terribly inappropriately dressed, but everyone was used to seeing me that way. So.
Well, I'm certainly used to seeing you that way, too, because I know you and Pam love the outdoors.
Yeah, we do.
And I see you many times in the trails near our houses. But there's a lot more to you than the hiker that you are and the outdoor person that you and your family, the identities that you are. The lives that you live, perched so close to the Eleanor Fire Trail in that lovely, lovely home of yours on Hillside. So before we get to your work that you've done with Mill Valley and the time you've spent here and the contributions you made, it'd be really great to get a little information about you, yourself, and your family. Are you born in California?
So I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, one of eight kids in a large Italian family. And my wife, Pam, Polite Fisco, grew up in the same area as I did. We've been married now. So it's funny, her maiden name is Pam B. Polite. And all her siblings have a middle initial, B.
Is that irony on her parents?
Well, her mother's maiden name was Bauman, so they're all Bauman. So
Pam B. Polite. That.
Well, yeah. Actually, hers is Mary Pamela Polite, but all of the siblings have that middle initial B, so it's pretty funny. But we met in seventh grade, and we're just good friends for a long, long time. We left Cleveland. We were friends until I graduated from law school and then stopped out in Colorado to say hello to her, and things changed a little for the better. We left Cleveland in 1979, spent 5 years down in Houston, and then we decided we were going to go somewhere where we liked the weather a little better. And her dad happened to be living in Belvedere, so we picked Mill Valley.
And where were your ancestors from? I mean, you're Italian.
Yeah, tutti Italiano. So my grandparents were from Italy.
What part?
My grandfather was from Campobasso Rionero, which is south of Rome and east of Naples in the Apennines. Very poor oil and sheep herding country part of the world. And my grandmother was from Sicily, which I just found out about 4 years ago, because I became an Italian citizen, and so because I was, Pam and our three children, Gavin, Dana, and Peter, also became Italian citizens. So we all have dual passports now. But yeah, they came from Italy. They went to Cleveland. My grandfather was a laborer, opened a plumbing company. My father built that company up, and now my two brothers run that company.
Wow. So what year did your grandparents come to Cleveland?
He came to the United States in about 1909. And I don't really know when my grandmother came.
And your grandparents' name?
Ben, Benjamino, and Mary. So, yeah.
Fisco's the...
Fisco is how you pronounce it. Fisco. There, which means taxes. So when I go to a restaurant and I'm in anywhere where they speak Italian, Portugal, Italy, Spain, and you say Fisco, they remember you because that means taxes. And they don't really want to see that.
Well, in the old days, in the Middle Ages, you might have a name that resembled your occupation. So
yeah, we must have been tax collectors at some point.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So your life, you were telling me before the interview a little bit about your life in Cleveland and the divide between you and your wife. Can you repeat that story again? Because it's kind of funny.
Oh, yeah. So in Shaker Heights, Ohio, there's a street called Warrensville Center Road. And on the east side of Warrensville, is it's a predominantly Jewish part of town. And on the west side, it's a non-Jewish part. So growing up, when there was a Jewish holiday like Yom Kippur, Tommy Reaney and I were the only two in our class, in our school out of three classrooms. It was the two Italian guys. Everyone else was Jewish and took the holiday off. And on Pam's side of Warrensville, which was probably 200 meters from where I lived, it was exactly the opposite. There was one woman who wouldn't be in class on the Jewish holidays. And being that close together and that divided, it was pretty amazing. So as a result, a lot of my friends growing up were all Jewish.
And you've adopted some of the Jewish traditions, have
you? Yeah. So Yom Kippur, my Jewish buddies know that they taught me to get rid of my Italian hit list every year, Yom Kippur, and forgive all those people who made the list during the year.
So you're saying that your original nature is to take inventory of the people that you want revenge on, store that up, and then at some point get even, I guess?
Well, yeah. Or just
hold
remember.
The grudge.
Yeah, yeah.
Hold the grudge. That's your natural...
But no longer, ever since I adopted that holiday.
Every Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
You forgive.
We forgive. My buddies call me to remind me, and I go, okay.
Perhaps that is the beginning of your diplomatic gifts that helps you to do so well in politics, which we'll talk about later.
Okay, maybe. Yeah.
Good to know what you're dealing with, and also good to forgive.
Yeah, exactly.
In order to progress.
Exactly.
Okay, so you... you come to Mill Valley because Pam's dad, and his name is?
Will Polite. So Will lived here in Belvedere with his second wife. And Pam and I were sort of, I built a company up in Houston that my brother Mike still runs, where we did, of all things, hazardous waste hauling and hydroblasting for refineries. And after 5 years, we decided that after 5 years, Pam and I decided she got her master's degree at Rice in geology and went to work for Shell Oil. And our first son was born, Gavin. And
what year is this?
He was born in 1984. Mm-hmm. So we said, do we want to really raise our family down in Houston in the petrochemical capital of the world? Or should we find somewhere nicer to live? So we came here on a trip for 1 week scouting out homes. And it was pretty interesting because I went to the helicopter place over on 101.
Uh-huh. The heliport there.
Right. And I rented a helicopter and a pilot for a couple hours and gave him a map. I gave him a map and we had a map in the back seat, Pam and I. And they said, fly up to Santa Rosa and fly back and show me flat areas where communities, towns, but show me where they're flat and not on hills because we had this kid and we were going to have more kids. And so he did that. So I ended up with this map with Cordomadera, Ross Valley, Fairfax, Mill Valley, all these little towns on it. And then I handed it to a realtor and said, show me some houses, not on a mountain. So one day, that realtor didn't last because we're up on Ralston, up off of West Blythedale.
You mean you were renting on Ralston?
No, we're looking at houses.
Oh.
And I walk out the back door of this house, and it's got to be 80 feet down to the ground. And I said, you know, I don't have a lot of time. I only got 5 days here. And I told you, don't show me anything on the mountain. And she said, oh, no, no, this is the foothill. The mountain's over there. And she pointed to Mount Tam. So we got back to our rental house and said, see, I got another realtor. And the day we were leaving town, we drove by Sunnyside. And there was a sign out, for sale, open house Sunday. It's a Saturday. Do not disturb occupant. And that never bothers Pam. So she goes, we got to look at this thing. It's beautiful. So we knock on the door. The lady goes, oh, can I hold the baby? Pam goes, you know, we'd like to see it. We're leaving town. Oh, can I hold the baby? Yeah, help yourself. And coincidentally, the lady was a dual widower, and both of her former husbands, widows, were geologists. So it had to be. There was a rock shop in the basement. Mm. So by the time we went back to, we were staying with Pam's sister and brother on Catalpa. By the time we got there from Sunnyside, this lady had already called her realtor and said, I'm selling it to these house, cancel, these people, cancel the open house. And
I remember that house. You know, my twin sister lived right across the street.
That's right. Yeah.
Nancy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were there for 18 years.
Yeah, 18 years, and you did some remodeling.
A lot of remodeling. So it was a two-bedroom, one bath, and we turned it into a five-bedroom, three-bath. By going underneath, not really doing a lot.
In a nice neighborhood, close to downtown.
Oh, yeah, we love that neighborhood. In fact, we still own the house next door to that is a rental house. We own a number of rental houses around town.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
smart,
one of them.
You.
Hey,
yeah.
Lucky.
Yeah. So that is, so you became, once you came here, you became a developer and a real estate agent?
Yeah. So my partner, Pam's brother, Wick Polite, who was a fraternity brother of mine, he and I decided, he moved from Cleveland the same time I moved here, and we decided we were going to go into real estate and knock on wood.
As he says as he's knocking on his head.
Yeah, so we were fortunate enough to have a couple of successful projects early on.
Mm-hmm.
And because I live so close to town, Pam and I would walk to town a lot, and so I started to get involved in things. In fact, the first meeting I ever went to was Del Getz. Did you know Del? Dowd's Barn?
Yes.
She put a little ad in the Mill Valley Record, or Herald Record. This was before the internet and all that. And it said community meeting. And I went, oh, shoot, I'll go to the community meeting. I'll see what's going on. And I made a mistake that I've never duplicated. So I go to this meeting. It's in her Dowd's Barn, which was a used furniture place.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat at the far end of the room, which made Dell and the group between me and the door. And the meeting started, and I'm sitting there, and it's people just bad-mouthing the city and how bad it is and how everything's changing. And I'm like, God, I don't think it's that bad. And plus, why wouldn't you do something to make it better? I mean, what? And I couldn't leave because I was across the room. So I always sit with my back to the door now so I get out if I have to.
Oh, future politicians.
Oh, I
this
learned
is a valuable strategy here.
Yeah.
Yes. So at what point, how long, let's just get right to the mayor part of you were mayor of Mill Valley from what year to what year?
So I stopped in 05, so I must have gone on 97 to 05. So I got on the planning commission in about 86 or 87. And I did a redevelopment project up in San Rafael called Montecito Shopping Center, which I still own.
You own Montecito Shopping Center?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
So Wick and I bought that in 1987.
Uh-huh.
And I had to go through the planning commission up there because we were doing an extensive remodel of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was 60% vacant, and we brought it to 90% vacant, and then redid it all and built it all over again. And it's been very successful ever since.
Yeah.
So one of the citizens who came to protest part of our remodel or give their strong opinions on how it should be done was Don Dickinson, who was the planning director in Mill Valley. And so we got through it. We, you know, we remodeled it, got our approvals. And I thought, God, why don't I get on the Planning Commission in Mill Valley, and then I could work with Don Dickinson and tell my thoughts about how things should be done and the like. And what spurred that on was two things in the record. There were in the same week or same 2 weeks, there was because it was a weekly, there were two issues that came up. The B of A building across from Mill Valley Market, mm-hmm. they had gone to the design review. We had design review and planning commission back then, which I helped get rid of. And they had gone for two or three hearings about what color to paint the building. And they finally got so fed up that they painted four or five palettes of colors on the side wall facing City Hall. And they went to the design review hearing and they said, we don't care what we paint it, just pick one. And the design review said, that's not our job. You have to tell us which one. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And then the next one was, Smith and Hawken bought the old post office at Sunnyside and Blightdale. And they went in to design review with their landscaping plan, and they got turned down. And to me, that was like telling the Pope how to be Catholic. I mean, it's Smith and Hawken. They know how to landscape a building. And it was their showcase, and they got turned down. So I said, I got to get involved. This is crazy. So I had run into Betsy Cutler, who at that point was on the city council. And I said, you know, I'd be interested. I'm Dennis Fisco. You don't know me, but I'd like to try this. And she was brave enough to put my name up. And I got on the planning commission. I spent 8 years on the planning commission as chair a couple times. It's a 6-year term, but I mentioned earlier, we got rid of the design review committee. So it you used to have to go to design review, and then you go to planning commission, and then hopefully, but a lot of times you go to city council. So it seemed like a lot of process, and it took up a lot of staff time. So we came out with the idea, Don Hunter, who was the city manager at the time, came out with the idea, let's get rid of design review, make the planning commission, instead of 5 people, 7 people, and make 2 of those design professionals so that we would get input on the design as we are. And it streamlined the whole operation. But as part of that, because we were revamping the whole system, he asked me to stick around for 2 more years on the planning commission, so I did. So spent 8 years doing that, and then I got off. And then I spent a year as the chair of the business task force, which was formed by the city council because there was a number of vacancies in town. There were people complaining that there were too many Italian restaurants. Go figure. And so they wanted to know how we could get a better mix of businesses. Should we do rent control? Should we do formula business ordinance where if you have like a Starbucks can't come into town because mm-hmm. they have too many locations?
Or large companies, or larger corporations.
Well, we didn't really deal with, it was mainly retail. Mm-hmm. And it was really the downtown area, a little bit of Miller, but primarily the downtown area. So we spent a year on that task force. There were about a dozen of us, many of whom are still around. And we came up with the, you know, laissez-faire, let it all be the way it is now. The one thing that we put in place that still works pretty well is, back then, you didn't really need a use permit to put a business into a store. So you could get just about anyone in any location. So we set, and it was really bigger stores that people didn't want in the downtown. So we said anything over 1,500 square feet, you need a use permit. And that worked pretty darn well. So, and now, you know, people would say, oh, there's too many galleries in town or too many beauty shops, but it ebbs and flows.
When I first moved to Mill Valley in the late 70s, there was the Mosier Shoes. There were 4, as I recall, hardware stores. There was Lockwood's Pharmacy. It was, I could go on and on, general store. It was really a town where you didn't have to go anywhere.
Right.
You could get whatever you needed. And although four hardware stores seems like a lot, it seemed like we needed them.
Yeah, yeah. Lawson
and
Dyer
the
was
lumber yard.
And...
Yeah, Lawson Dyer, the lumber yard supplied. You really either weren't, you know, maybe you couldn't get your nails done every other block, but you could live here practically and not have to shop at the malls. In fact, I recall the malls being rather vacant over in the town center and Corte Madera malls weren't as occupied as they are now. There was a wonderful feeling of hometown.
Yeah, in fact, when we did the business task force, one of our polls was of the citizens was, what could you not buy in town? And very little that you could not buy in town at the time. You could really just about buy anything you needed. But retail has gone a different direction. The rents started going up. Back then, they were complaining about them going up. Imagine what they'd complain about now. And it pushed out all those businesses that are more rent sensitive, mm-hmm. like hardware stores. And it pushed a lot of them down to Miller Avenue, which we said, let's keep Miller as sort of the working part of retail in Mill Valley. And we did for a long time. To some degree, it still is. There's still mechanics down there. Mm-hmm. Car repair shops, a tire store, Mulligani, but the bead shop, things like, which is coming back.
Oh, it is coming back?
Yeah. Oh,
I just read about so that. Glad to hear that.
Yeah. I've never been in there, but Pam goes in.
Oh,
there,
my so. Gosh. It was a treasure.
Yeah, it's coming back.
Very sad for a lot of people when it went
up. So, you know, that's the lower rent district, and that's where I think it should stay that mm-hmm. way.
Have you any regrets from your time with the planning department and the working in the city? Is there something that happened that you wished hadn't, or things that had that you're extremely relieved that did happen? Any stand apart moments as in your career?
You know, I don't really have any regrets about things we did. There were some houses that we might have approved that were big for the time, but now they blend in perfectly and no one complains about. For instance, there's a project on Una Way, which is off of Miller, goes up the hill. Mm-hmm. Extremely controversial. When we approved it, it was three sets of maybe three townhomes each.
The shingled ones?
Yeah, and mm-hmm. then there's one of them up on Ethel at mm-hmm. the top. But they had more or less clear-cut the hillside to build this thing. Mm-hmm. Now, so when it was clear cut and you're building these things, obviously it stuck out. But now you don't even notice that, and it looks pretty good. To mm-hmm. me, it looks very good. And they were affordable at the time. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so they were $500,000, $450,000. Now they'd be triple that. But they were somewhat affordable for people, and they're close to town. They're close to the bus. They're close to transportation. So
they have the
like,
stairs
this
to
is
drop
a no,
you down.
Yeah, this is a no-brainer. They're on a stairwell. Mm-hmm. Steps lane trail. So, no, not really. I mean, I think we did a pretty good job my day. We joke that Clifford Waldeck was on the council with me for all 8 of those years, and we joke that there were no disasters on our watch. So,
can you remember some of the other members so we can just include them in this?
Oh, sure. Dick Swanson. Let's see. Clifford, Dick Swanson. Oh, geez. Well, I'll just name some that I sat mm-hmm. with over the years. Kathleen Foote, Dick Spotswood, Ruth Schneider. God, I'm going to forget. Gary Lyon, Warren Levinson.
Well, we'll just say
more
right
of them
moment,
will come to me.
They'll
yeah.
come to you. You can add them. And if you weren't named, it's not out of malice. It was just, you know, we're all getting older.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's
sorry
a,
about
it's,
that.
Yeah, and you also weren't prepared for the question.
Yeah.
So you have been involved with other groups as well here in Mill Valley. We talked in the pre-interview discussion about Friends of Field.
Right.
Tell me about that.
That was interesting, and we didn't cover city council, but we'll come back to that.
Well, no, you know what? Let's hold Friends of Field. Let's finish city council.
Yeah, so then I was asked to run for city council, and it was funny because Clifford ran the two years before me.
Mm-hmm. And what year are we talking now?
So that would have been 96. 95. He ran in
now
95.
Your kids are at Park School. You're living on Sunnyside.
We're living on Sunnyside. They actually went to Mount Tam School.
Oh, they went to Mount Tam School.
Because when Pam and I moved to Mill Valley and we put Gavin in Park School, we went to the parent teacher's night, you know, right at open house, right mm-hmm. after school starts. And Pam said, you know, we're Gavin's parents, and the teacher looked at us with this blank look. There were 32 kids in the class. I'm sitting in the downstairs, the basement of Park School, and I'm a real estate guy, and the asbestos is peeling off the pipes, and the paint is peeling off the walls. And we came from a area in Cleveland and Shaker where the schools were outstanding, and we were public school kids. And I just went, this isn't... They don't know the name of the kid. The class size are too big and the facilities are terrible. That all got changed soon thereafter when a bunch of...
This is what grade is he in?
This is kindergarten, so it would have been in 89, 90.
Yeah, because Gavin was born what year?
84.
Okay.
So wait, yeah, it would have been 88, 89.
Okay.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. So anyhow, Clifford ran before and he didn't get elected. But he came to me and we chatted about it. And I said, look, Clifford, the next time there's going to be two openings. Right now there's no openings. And you're running against incumbents that want to stick around and they're doing a good job. So let them stick around. We have a good tradition in Mill Valley of knowing for the most part, there's only been two people that have done otherwise, that after 8 years you're going to retire. So you have your opening to run for council and have a pretty good shot at getting on it. So we ran. It was three of us for two positions. And, it was... And then we ran again 4 years later, but we were unopposed. So we saved the city about $12,000. And in return, we asked Don Hunter to replace the 30-year-old seats at the dais that we sat in a couple times a month because they were so uncomfortable. So we spent the $12,000 on those chairs that we saved. So, city council was a lot of fun. And we got a lot accomplished during those days. And one of the reasons I ran was to further the construction of the community center. So
the community center. Let's talk about the old community center, shall we? Because your son probably played sports, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because I know mine did, and I remember very well the size of the building, and it was a lovely space, and I like the building, but it's nothing like it is today.
Yeah, we used to call it the Rec Center, WRCK. Mm-hmm. It was an old restaurant that the city was on Redwood Highway, donated to the city. They moved it up the road.
When was it donated? Let's include the history of the rec center.
Okay, I'm going to say that was donated in the mid-70s, early to mid-70s.
And that's when we first, because I don't know this history, but that's when the rec center first came to be?
Yeah, it was literally moved from Redwood Highway up Blythedale and plopped down on Blythedale where you and I
Blythedale and Camino Alto, right. Mm-hmm.
So it was a restaurant, so they cleared out all the tables and chairs, and that was that room you entered into.
Mm-hmm.
It was sitting on the old dump site in Mill Valley. So that whole area where the middle school is, where the sewage treatment plant is, and where the current rec center in Friends Field, that was the landfill in Mill Valley. In mm-hmm. fact, up until the early 60s, almost the mid-60s, they would burn garbage at where the sewage treatment plant is now, every day. They'd pour kerosene, light on fire, and the only regulation is that they had to put it out by about 1 in the afternoon. They'd take hoses and put it out because the fog would start coming in and blow the smoke toward town. And that's what made us stop doing that. So, and then they'd just get their bulldozer and push everything into the landfill.
Mm-hmm.
So when our kids were playing baseball there, if they hit a ball into left center, you just didn't go get that ball. It fell into a quagmire brown gook. So
I remember there was a small bathroom too.
Yeah, the whole thing was not...
It was quaint.
Not good. So in about 1987, Don Hunter, who was the Park and Rec director, had this idea to put together a group of citizens. And there were 12 of us, I think. And we started out, we had a 1 year, city council appointed us, we had 1 year to sort of survey the city, see what the needs and wants were, see where it would be located, figure out what the components were going to be. And so at the end of the year, we came back, so now we're like 1988, and said, here's what we think. And we were going to, our recommendation was to put it where it is now. And the components were pretty much the ones that are there now: pool, a large meeting room, no gym, but there was a gym component. I'll tell you about that. But so we made that recommendation, and then it, then 89 recession, really bad recession. So it sort of got back shelf. But during that time, a number of us in the original committee kept pushing it forward. So we hired an architect, and that took a couple of years to come up with a design.
And
so
the architect?
I don't recall the name of it. Mark Schatz was the architect, but I don't know what firm he was with.
Okay.
Because they change firms so often. But he's still around town. He was involved in the JCC up in San Rafael. But the original architect, I think it was Mark, came up with this design that just got panned. I mean, we went to one hearing front of city council, and they were like, nah.
Why?
It was industrial looking, like the Mill Valley Middle School.
Oh.
There was no real design to it. So he came back with what you see there today. Pretty much the way it was designed is the way it got built. And then we went to the finance part of things. How are we going to finance it? We decided we were going to use certificates of participation, which are a form of bond. And I was on all these committees as we're moving along. And then, so we got it to the point where all we needed was the money. So I kept pushing to get this thing built. And, oh, and part of it was we were going to remodel the middle school gym and make that the gym component of the community center. And the school district owned part of the land that the community center is sitting on. So we needed to do a land swap with them. So we went to the school district, and they said, they kept asking for more and more. And the final one for me was the music director. We said, we're going to build you portable buildings, sort of permanent portable buildings out there where they are. And the music director said, through their negotiator, we have to have whiteboards that have the scales already on them.
And who's the music director?
Of the middle school. I don't know his name. So whoever taught music at the middle school at the time.
Joe Angulo?
I don't think it was Joe. I know Joe. But I didn't deal with the person directly. It was through the negotiator. And it, I was just like, okay, that's it. This is
Forget
crazy.
It.
We're never going to finish this thing. So then they started balking about whether they're going to lease us the land or sell us the land or what was going to happen. And they were sort of playing hardball. So our committee got back together. Hunter had this idea. And we said, okay, it's not going to work on that site because we can't work it out with the school district. We're going to put it on Bayfront Park instead. What's is a big soccer field there. We're going to put it right at the end of Sycamore on Bayfront Park. Committee voted 12-0. Knowing that it was going to be extremely controversial. At the next school board meeting, 100 people showed up to protest, and lo and behold, they sold us the land. And we went back to where we were going to be.
Talk about hardball.
Well, I mean, they weren't being very reasonable at the time. So. So then I got on city council because I wanted to help out, but I wanted to get this community center going. And I volunteered. We had Penny Weiss was helping raise money. And we didn't really have a chair for the fundraising committee. So I said, you know, I'll do it. I don't want to be the chair, but I'll sort of run the operation. So we sat down, Penny and I called in, I think I had five people at the first meeting sort of saying, okay, you're going to be my informal committee. And at that meeting, we raised $750,000 from those five people because I had their names already. And Penny's like, "Oh, this is going to be easy," because our goal was $3 million. Mm-hmm. So, long story short, we ended up raising $6 million of the $12 million roughly budget, $1 million from the Marin Community Foundation, which was their first grant for a large project like that. And the rest we did certificates of participation. So then the council agreed to build it. But again, we're building in, this is 03, we're building into a very tough environment because it was part of the go-go times. Contractors were hard to come by. Public bid process. So we got can't remember the name of the construction company, but it'll come to me. And they didn't have a stellar reputation. They were known for bidding on public jobs and then change orders and shoddy construction. But we had to go with them. So Hunter and I and council got together, and we appointed my construction review committee, which was Rich Robbins, who owns Wareham Development, Gary Van Acker from Van Acker Construction, and Jerry Cahill from Cahill Family and Contractors. And they went to every meeting every week and reviewed every change order and drove that contractor crazy. But we got out of it with very few change orders and got it all built on time.
I think the community center may have been one of those rare projects where everybody was, I guess, surprised by how beautiful it came out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, right from the get-go, there's so many nuances to the community center, the color, the textures, the way it blends into the environment. It was a real pleasant surprise.
First of all, it's 17 years later, and now everyone takes it for granted.
Yes.
Especially people who are new to town. Yeah, the community center, but they had no idea what went in. It took 13 years from the day we first met to when the ribbon got cut. And the part that I really like, I like everything about it, but there's so many different constituencies that use that community center. Mm-hmm. There's the teen room, which when we first built it, didn't get much use at all. But now you go up there, and I was talking to a kid at the gym the other day, and he said, "Yeah, I'm bummed because I have to go to play practice today. I can't go see my buddies at the teen room." Okay, I get that. Mm-hmm. But this teen room, the senior center, all the meeting rooms, the main Cascade room where they do kids tumbling programs, yoga. I mean, there's always something going on in there. Of course, the pool.
And so. I just attended the Millies the other night.
Yeah, I was out of town. It was one of the first ones I've ever missed.
Yes, it's such a community feeling. I've taken ballroom dancing in there.
Well, one of the controversies was, why didn't we build a gym there in that room that could be adapted as a community room? And the community said, look, we want a community room. Uh-huh. We don't want a gym that you could convert into something else.
But about that gym, I've spent a lot of hours in that gym. And what is
the middle school gym?
No, at the community center.
Oh, upstairs.
Upstairs. Okay. In the rec room area. Yeah. And what's really enjoyable for me going to that particular gym is that you've got a lot of people from Redwoods that come.
Yeah. Well, and we have the senior center there,
so
too.
So the senior center. So you've got your seniors. You've got all ages.
Yeah.
And there's just something nice about that.
Well, that's how it was designed, for every age. Yeah. And it worked.
Yeah, it really did work. When I think about the community of people for the years that, in particular, that I spend at the gym there, the friendships in the community that developed in that gym.
Yeah, yeah. My friends call it the People's Gym.
Yeah.
Which is a
everybody knows your name. Well, Watching politics from the machines and everybody's railing.
Put your headphones on. The other thing is that field, if you go out there in the fall especially, you got Pop Warner football, soccer, lacrosse, little kids kicking the ball around, winter ball, baseball. There's five or six sports
close
going on
to the
there.
Dog park.
Yeah, all the time. It's really fun to see.
And you've got your community gardens there, too.
Yeah. Yeah. We just our latest group, Friends of Mill Valley Park and Rec, which was Friends of Fields, morphed into that, and we just finished that garden at the Public Safety Building,
mm-hmm.
which was another fun project.
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you
sure.
for your efforts. As long as it took 13 years, I think that your investment of your time and your energy was well worth it.
Thanks.
As a community member, because we all love the community center.
Well, it's one of those things you say 13 years, but it really, you just put your head down, just kept going, then all of a sudden it was built. Didn't feel like it was 13 years.
How's it feel for you when you go to the field or you drive past the community center and you look at it?
Well, I'm proud of what we accomplished, and I'm glad that they're maintaining it well, because I didn't want it to be a building that just deteriorated over time, as often happens, both public and private. So it has been very well maintained. The city's doing a great job of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel the same way about all the fields around town. When we did, the one that really got me was when we built Alto Field, which is out behind Ed and McGuire.
Mm-hmm.
And your kids played on that field, your son. Mm-hmm. It was... Kenny Cahill was running down there playing U8 soccer, and he stepped in a gopher hole and fractured his leg. That's how bad that field was.
Mm-hmm.
So we completely redid that field. And I'll never forget, I showed up the day. I was more the city liaison, figuring out the money part, where Rich and Gary were the get-it-built part. And they were putting the sod down. We put those sods down in 5-foot rolls that are 50 feet long. Big machine rolls them out. And I looked, and I went home, and I got the kids in the car, and we drove back, and we were up on Vasco Court looking down. I said, this is why I'm not home a lot. This is what we're doing. And they're like, holy cow, because it just was gorgeous where it used to be dirt and mud, and so it was pretty fun.
Did you find any Native American?
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Well, we didn't disturb them. We didn't find it, but they're purportedly, and I tend to believe it, out where the baseball diamond is there, out behind second base, there's a supposedly a Native American there. So we didn't disturb that.
The bones of a Native American.
Well, yeah.
Hmm.
We have no proof and we don't know. It's just word traveling through the years. So we just stayed away from that area.
Mm-hmm.
There was some Mignon mounds there.
Yeah. So what other fields, what other places around town? Have you been...
The fields?
Yeah. Other projects. Might as well
all of
describe.
Them, huh?
Yeah, just give well, us
the,
an idea.
I was on the city council when we voted and redid the library expansion.
Mm-hmm.
And that took a couple councils to get done. And
so what... Describe the library expansion.
So that... With the library expansion, we actually had a committee that was... At the time, I told you about the financing of the community center. We were actually looking at financing both projects, how to go about without competing with each other on these projects. So our committee decided that the first one we go forward with is the library expansion, because the city could float some bonds. The city has very little bonded indebtedness, so they have the ability, I don't know what the numbers are now, but back then it was the ability to bond up to $60 million based on their finances. And the only debt we really had is this library in the community center, so mm-hmm. maybe $6-7 million, $8 million. So that's not right. The community center is about six, and this was maybe four, so $10 million. So we made the decision that libraries are mom and apple pie. They're a lot easier to pass a bond issue for. We did some polling. So we said, let's go forward with the library expansion first, and we'll follow that in a year or two with the community center, because they were both tracking
mm-hmm.
pretty evenly. And yeah, so
it, the library expansion described the depth and breadth of the work that was done.
So Mark... can't remember his name. There was a gentleman in town, Schatz, who chaired the fundraising for the FF&E, the Furniture, Fixtures, and Equipment. And that was about a $600,000 raise, and they raised that money pretty readily. The city floated the bonds, And I mean, this project was blessed too. It just
so the work, the actual space inside the library, how things were.
Well, I don't recall exactly, but we're sitting in part of it.
This yeah, we're sitting in the sound room in the
this
basement.
Downstairs wasn't here. Mm-hmm. When you came into the library, the room on the left as you come in was there. The big reading room mm-hmm. was there, but if the kids' reading room was new, and mm-hmm. as you pushed out that into the redwoods, that's all new.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that whole shaft going down three stories,
mm-hmm.
which is part of where we are.
Into the Creekside room and
right.
and the history room.
So, and I mean, to the design, I don't recall who designed it, but it's just magnificent, as you know. I
mm-hmm.
mean, people, it's won all kind of awards. And it was nice that, and that was another one done under Don Hunter's watch. It was nice where they integrated the old and the new, the same gentleman, actually, it was his son that made the original furniture.
Yes, right.
Made the new furniture.
Ooh, I wish I could remember his name because
yeah.
I interviewed Ed Stiles, who talks about that is the gentleman. But
yeah.
oh, I apologize for not knowing that name. But you can hear it in Ed Stiles' interview.
There you go. So the library was a great project. We also, I mentioned Friends Afield with Gary Van Acker and Rich Robbins. So we in 92. Our kids were Little League coaches, and we're at Boyle Park. No bathrooms. Kids would go down in the creek, or they'd run over to the tennis courts, mm-hmm. and they'd be
and
up
then
and
they're
bat,
out of
and you
sight.
Go, where are those
yes.
guys? You know, you're in, and balls hit in the infield would bounce up on the dirt and hit them in the face, and we're like, God, what is with this? So we went to Don Hunter. Actually, there were 10 or 11 of us on a committee, and we said, look, give us the field, we'll raise the money, we'll fix it, and then we'll give it back to you. Just, it's as simple as that. And Don, at the time, was not the city manager. He was the park and rec director. But he stuck his neck out, and we raised about a little under $100,000 and we from the community through all kind of different events. But one of my favorite ones was Bob Weir with the Dead is an old friend of mine. I met him when I first moved to town. And so I went to him and said, would you be willing to play? We're going to do a benefit. And he said, sure. So we had Pete Sears and the whole Dead except for Jerry Garcia in the back of D'Angelo's. And we sold dinner tickets and that was our main fundraiser for the evening. And they played sitting in front of the fireplace. I don't even know how we fit in there. But we raised about $100,000. We fixed the field up, did exactly what we said we were, added restrooms that are still there today, added snack bars, added drainage because that was a problem. They had no drainage, and handed it back. And we realized that it was a successful project, but there were too many people involved. Because we just wanted to get the job done, and meeting with this committee of 10 or 11. So that was Friends of Boyle Park. So we whittled that down and created a 501c3 of Rich, Gary, and myself called Friends of Fields. And we went from 93 to 2003, and we raised well over $3 million, and we rebuilt every field in Mill Valley, mm-hmm. every field. And we did College of Marin, for Branson School. So
mm-hmm.
some of them we did twice because mm-hmm. 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So
hey,
it was
thanks.
Fun. Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah, Bayfront we did twice because it was the first field we did. And we learned from doing all these that there's better methods. So we redid that field
mm-hmm.
8 years later. Mm-hmm. And the city just redid it again.
Mm-hmm.
So those were fun. Yeah. Those were really fun projects. We do a every 2 years, I don't know if that's semi-annual. No, that'd be every 2 years we would do a fundraiser at the community center. And Bob Weir, in one form or another, sometimes with a band, sometimes by himself, he did every one of our fundraisers.
Mm-hmm.
One of them we did at the Buckeye. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Community members that stand out in support of the things you do. You've mentioned a lot of names. Have we missed anybody in the discussion? People that have
Oh boy. Well, there's all the city council has been incredibly cooperative with us over the years, because again, we had this group who essentially was a public-private partnership with not a lot of written agreements.
Mm-hmm.
Even the school board got involved, because some of these, Alto was owned by the school district. And most of them were all done on a handshake. Sometimes we'd write up an agreement. When Jim McCann took over as city manager, he called a couple times and said, well, is there a written agreement about this? And, shoot, I don't think so. I think we just did it. Things like the skate park, which we're about to redo, that was sort of a pickup project. And it turned out we did do an agreement with the school district, the city, and over liability issues that they're just now renewing. But we'd all forgotten that we even had a written agreement, because we just said, okay, we're going to do this and we'll get it done and we'll let you know when it's done. So It was sort of fun.
Small
so a
town
lot of
politics.
City council. Yeah. A lot of city council members over the years that have been a big help.
Well, in the many years that we've passed each other on trails or on the street coming down from something or another, we're on the top of Blythale Ridge or wherever we've run into each other, when I actually didn't know that you were involved in all that you did, so this is news for me. The way I know you is in the time that in your love for nature.
Yeah.
And Pam, the cutest couple, you two.
Thank
up
you.
On, you know, the two of you enjoying nature, my husband and I passing you guys, or as his knee started to get a little worse, just myself. Tell me what the natural environment here means to you. How it inspires you, how it changes the way that you see our town, just the effect that it has on you and your family.
Well, so we spend a lot of time in Colorado, too, and just being near the mountains, near the ocean here, it's just, it just invigorates us. Pam and I have a place up in the, a second home up in Soda Springs up near Sugar Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So just being outdoors on the mountain or a mountain is part of our life. So, you know, I'll leave here today and we'll go hike on the trail. In 2002, we moved from Sunnyside to Hillside.
Into that amazing house on Hillside. One of these days, I'm going to knock on your door ask for a tour, because it is really perched, overlooking the valley, close to the road, and it's this Tyrolean look to it that's so charming.
It's an interesting house because it was built by Eleanor Borgstrom, who is the daughter of Joseph Gardner, who Joseph Gardner helped found Mill Valley, and he owned that side of Mill Valley. So when she got married to Borgstrom, he was a local dentist and she was a high school teacher. Dad said, I own that land over there, go build a house. So we have photos. It's the only house up there, and Hillside didn't exist. It was built on Balsa, and the stairs come up from Balsa because people walked in those days in 28, 29. And then later they put Hillside in there. So, she picked the perfect spot to put
bird's
the house.
Nest.
Yeah, and it's a, you know, leaded glass windows and wood shingles. It's more of a somewhat of an East Coast house here in Mill Valley. So, we love that house. So we walk by it for when the kids were in strollers, and never would I have dreamt that we could live in a house like that. So, but we're right up against, as you know, what's called the hidden trail across from our front gate that goes right up to the knoll of the Blythedale Ridge. So it's pretty much a no-brainer to head up there.
Good views of Throckmorton Ridge with the clouds flowing over the ridge. Sunny on your place.
Yeah.
But also close to where they had that awful slide.
Two doors down, And that's, I happened to be the mayor when that happened. it was tragic. The gentleman was killed.
Down on Balsa, right there in that wash.
Right.
You could see the street moving.
Yeah.
Up on Hillside. There was some shifts.
In fact, at one point we were, an island up there, because there was a slide, that slide, and then there was another slide on the other side of us, three doors down. So the city had to do an emergency repair on the minor one in order to keep the road open so we could even get to our house.
Mm-hmm.
But I was in, I was back east. When that slide happened, we were visiting our son at Colgate University, so 3-hour time change. So I get a call at about 1 a.m. on my cell phone, and it's from my office. And I'm looking at it and go, I didn't get to it in time, and I hung up, and I go, well, who's calling from my office at 1 a.m? And then about an hour later, I get a call from Don Hunter. He said, where are you? We evacuated your house, and you're not here at the emergency center. And I said, oh, well, I'm back in New York, and my house sitter was an employee of mine. So she didn't know where to go when she got evacuated, so she went to the office, and that's who was calling me. So he said, well, turn on the news. So I turned it on, and there was our house and all the tragedy that
it was just happening. Let loose. The hill, I guess it was slightly above hillside in the land, or right below.
Well, there's two waterfalls that come through there, and then they channeled into a drainage channel that was right where that house was built. So, yeah.
Yes.
Now it's all been stabilized. The city paid a substantial settlement on that.
I believe the owner of the house had expressed concerns about the land.
Yeah.
In advance, and he was out in the middle of the night checking to see how the water was moving because he was concerned.
Yeah, he had hired a contractor to put some pipe in there to try to channel it. And
it let loose while he was outside. And then
So
his beautiful garden.
And someone has rebuilt that house.
Just so similar.
And you're just like, okay, I hope you had a good engineer. So.
Landslides are a part of our concern living here in a tourist city where there's some places you just hope it's stable. And
well, and that whole hillside area is clay, mm-hmm. serpentine and clay, and the two don't really mix that well. So it's all prone to sliding. So you just, now the engineering is much better when they build those things with caissons and piles, but back then, they just sort of plopped them down. So,
things have changed in Mill Valley since you were on your, working with the city and council. And did we talk much about your being mayor, though? Anything in particular we missed about your?
Well, we had our 100th anniversary of Mill Valley when I was the mayor. It was actually interesting because once I got off the city council, I was fortunate enough to be named Citizen of the Year. So when you're on the city council, you ride in the parade, and then Citizen of the Year, you ride in the parade. And then finally, it was 2007 or 8 when I finally went to a parade and went, oh my God.
They're really fun to go to, probably.
And interesting and absurd. And so it's sort of fun to see.
Did you get a ticket from the fashion police?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Larry, I'm one of his favorite targets. Yeah, so just everything about being the mayor, you sort of guide the city in a direction. You try to get projects done. That each mayor picks a project that they try to get done. And one of mine was the community center. And then the second one, I don't even recall what it was, but we put a lot of money into the steps, lanes, and trails when I was there. We passed the municipal services tax. We re-upped it for the first time. We got a lot accomplished. And we all got along well. We didn't always agree, but we agreed to disagree in a cordial manner. So.
Well, that's an accomplishment in itself.
Yeah, no, it was really nice.
What's your favorite part about living in Mill Valley?
Oh, one thing was that when Hunter came to me at one time and said he was thinking of retiring. And, he was thinking of retiring. I said, Don, if you're going to retire, I'm not running for city council again. He goes, okay, I'll make a deal. You stick out and I'll stick it out. So, because we really enjoyed working with each other together. What was your question?
What was your favorite part about being in Mill Valley? What are the things you love?
So I love the small town community. I love how eclectic especially in the old days, but it's still very eclectic. You get people from all walks of life, from all socioeconomic frames of life, and you don't really know how successful this person is versus where the success comes from this person, not necessarily monetarily, but you know, you mentioned the Millies. I love going to those because you're like, oh my God, these people live in town? I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like one lady, God, it has to be 7 or 8 years ago, she was a Japanese paper expert artist and had written all these books, 15, 20 books on this stuff. And she lived in Mill Valley all her life. And it's like, really? But she's world renowned for that stuff. So I love the people. The whole area, being able to walk out your door and be in nature, and I always joke that I want to be when I come back, I want to be a kid growing up in Mill Valley, because it's just a fun place to be for kids too. You got the golf course, you got the tennis club, you got Boyle Park, all these great fields, you got the mountain, you're near the beach. I mean, what's wrong? Gavin, one time when he's little, I came home, I go, Gavin, what'd you do today? It was summertime. He goes, I caught him in between trips. So he left in the morning, played 9 holes at the golf course, walked down the Mill Valley Tennis Club, had a burger and swam, walked back, this with his buddies, walked back up to the golf course, played another 9. He'd just gotten home from the Mill Valley Market, walking there with a backpack with a block of ice on it, because they were going up to the golf course to slide on the ice blocks, hopefully not get caught by the police.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his day. I'm like, oh my God, I want to do this.
Do you know, I was walking in Boyle Park with my son, who's 32 now.
Wow.
And we stopped over there by the fields, and he was watching the kids, you know, the dads out there, like you were one of those dads, and like so many dads in town as they were doing the coaching. And I recall that time so very fondly. You know, I think about the community we had as parents. It was beautiful, but I don't think it was as beautiful for me as it actually was for my son, who it just conked him on the head.
Oh, that's good.
He just was looking and smiling, and it sunk in as he was reminiscing.
Yeah.
About how much fun he'd had.
Yeah, I mean, we had Little League parents dances and soccer club parents dances. I mean, who would do that now? But, you know, maybe we'll go to Sweetwater and do that. But, yeah, and we'd have a hoot just doing that stuff.
Yeah. Yes.
We had the all the carnivals started back then that Jim Wickham runs.
Uh-huh.
So that all started back in that era.
Yes. So. Mill Valley, do you think it's changed much?
The demographics have certainly changed. It's a lot harder to get people to volunteer now. So I'm always very surprised by that. When we were doing all the fields, we realized that one of the problems was, as soon as they were fixed up, it was hard to raise money for them. But we still convinced people that we're paying it forward to the next generation by paying for these fields over and over again. And I'm not saying everyone, but there's a lot more people that feel entitled because they paid a lot of money for their houses and they pay a lot of taxes as a result. And they just feel like they're doing their part by paying that dough, and they don't really need to volunteer. So you see a lot of volunteers for kiddo as the kids are going through school, but some of the other things, like sometimes the city's having trouble filling the arts commission, filling the planning commission, getting good qualified people to volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's changed in that respect. We talked about the retail and not being able to walk downtown and buy everything. You know, Pam and I go to the Mill Valley Market about every day.
Mm-hmm.
So thank God.
Excellent prepared food, by the way.
Well, we still buy our lettuce and some at the fish or meat market and make dinner. But but you can't go buy a pair of socks or that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You got Pharmaca now in town, so at least you have a little pharmacy.
What would you like to see for the future of Mill Valley? You've been a visionary in your time. You've imagined what could make a town better that you live in, and you've devoted yourself to actualizing that vision.
Yeah.
Let's do that now.
Well, somehow we have to figure out the housing situation and not just pay it lip service. So I would like to see some multifamily housing projects, and they're going to happen, unfortunately or fortunately, they're going to happen along Miller Avenue. And we just have to buy into them and make them work. It'll change the flavor of Miller Avenue in certain areas. But I firmly believe that we'll grow into those projects as they're there, because there's nowhere else. I mean, your son, my kids, it's hard for them to live here. So there's a couple city parking lots that I'd like to see something happen on housing-wise. The one behind DeAngelo's, where you could still have parking, public parking underneath, but go up into the hill and sort of tuck those projects in there. There's the one near the across from Whole Foods by the Marin Theater Company.
Eggers Plaza.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That parking lot on Miller is just...
Oh, the plaza's in the back. So you're looking at the parking lot right contiguous to the
right.
Miller Avenue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those are just two. The project that where they built the retaining walls on Miller that's so controversial right now, once they build that out, I think it will start to blend in and we'll see some.
Has that been given the go-ahead for the mall?
Yeah. Well, it's been given the go-ahead for the original nine that it was proposed
to have. But isn't it being proposed to be more than that?
Yeah, I think the developer gave up and is just going to build the nine now. So, because of the opposition.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I developed that stuff and it's just all over the county, all over the Bay Area, but especially the county. It's very difficult.
What about the projection of water rise? How do you think that's going to affect, for example, the community center and
yeah.
other areas?
Well, I think it's definitely going to affect it. It's definitely here. The community center, I think, will be okay because I think we have enough elevation there, although it is sinking. It's probably sunk a foot since we built it, as it was designed to do. The building itself isn't sinking. It's on pilings and the pool. So with water rise, you're not going to really affect that. You'll affect the fields. It obviously is affecting Lower Miller Avenue. Where I think the solution is to get the flood control district, which has quite a bit of money they're sitting on, to build the bike path up. However, environmentally, we need to do that to act as a berm when you have the high tides and big winds,
mm-hmm.
Because that could be a dike along there.
Mm-hmm.
but yeah, we just can't build on those in those areas anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We've learned,
mm-hmm.
and the county has done a tremendous job in mapping all that out.
Mm-hmm.
So you could see an interactive map based on a 30, 40, 50 year flood. Ocean rise and floodplain, what's going to be affected. So don't buy in those areas. Don't build in those areas. I'm at 300 feet, so.
Yes. I checked my elevation, too.
Yeah, so. And we saw it on Sycamore right after I got off the council when they had the flooding down there.
Oh, yes.
So the other avenue is to make sure that the drainage channels are clear, which now the city is doing a tremendously good job of doing, but we didn't do as good a job as we could have back then.
Do you see yourself growing old here in this town? You've got other properties. You could live other places.
I do. Pam and I talk about it. We love it here. We're here for the duration. I don't know if we'll stay in the house we're in right now. We upsized when the kids left home. Mm-hmm. But,
which is ironic. You went from a relatively modestly sized house to this huge house with just the two of you in it.
Yeah. Well, there were five of us when we moved there, but it's just the two of us now. So, but, you know, the kids come back and hopefully there'll be some grandkids someday. Mm-hmm. But no, we love it here. We have a place in family place in Colorado, and we have Pam and I have our place in the mountains that we like to go visit just about every weekend. But I love Mill Valley. All our friends are here, and
mm-hmm.
so we socialize a lot, and It's fun to go to the market and for a 5-minute errand and leave 40 minutes later after saying hello to everyone, catching up with everyone. So,
well, I just want to thank you, Dennis, for all your efforts.
Yeah, thank you for the invite. This has been enjoyable.
You know, you've given a lot to our community, and it's easy to take things for granted when you don't really know what goes into these projects and the consciousness and the efforts and the people. So I'm so glad we managed to capture your story.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it, and it's been fun reliving all that.
Yeah. So I guess...
And I apologize to my council members whose names have escaped me at the moment.
But and we thank them, too.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people that don't get named, but we know that every single thing that we appreciate in any town or any place, that somebody's preceded us with effort and vision. So I thank you for yours. Thank you so much for your volunteer actions. I'd like to talk to you at some point in the future about getting involved with the Historical Society, if you care to volunteer.
Well, you know, I'm on the board of the Marin Historical Society.
Ah, well, we'll save that for another discussion when
you
I see you on the trails.
Your annual meeting on the same evening we had our fundraiser at Sweetwater. So
we'll talk about that later, shall we? To be continued in that regard. Yeah. So I think that concludes,
right,
unless there's anything that we missed at all.
Well, you asked about accomplishments, and then you also asked about what I'm most proud of. And we failed to cover in those two topics my family. So Pam and I have been married for 39 years, 34 of which have been in Mill Valley. And we have three kids, Gavin, who's married to Laura, Dana, and Peter, who's married to Kristen. And I'm very proud of them. We talked about, or I mentioned how I wanted to come back as a kid in Mill Valley. Well, they taught me how to do that because they just love living here, growing up here. None of them live here right now, but I'm hopeful that they'll be back in town sometime in the future. I'm almost positive they will be. So there's a proud accomplishment and something that that I'm really happy that we were able to raise our kids here in Mill Valley and that they're all very accomplished. And 39 years with Pam, 52 knowing her.
Yeah. So. It's awfully nice to have family and people that you love to share the wonderful things that you have in your life.
Absolutely. Gavin is a geologist like his mother. Dane is a marine biologist, a scientist like her mother. And Pete is a real estate guy like me. So we're splitting them up here, and it's all good.
Well, I think that concludes this interview then, yes?
Well, thank you. Yeah, really enjoyed it, and thanks for inviting me.
Okay, so on behalf of the Mill Valley Historical Society and behalf of the Mill Valley Library, this concludes this interview.